Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, December the 6th, and welcome to our commentary. Well, if you're watching me in Spain, or if you're listening to me in Spain, and I know I've got a few listeners in Spain on the Blog Talk Radio side. I'm not sure if they watch the video. But if you're listening to me in Spain or watching me in Spain, then you're probably not very happy with your football team today, because the Spanish team was eliminated from the World Cup and eliminated in the first round, that is the Sweet 16, as we would call it here in the United States, the Final 16. And the Spanish team was one of the teams that was very highly rated before the World Cup. So I don't remember who they lost again. I think it was Morocco who they lost again. Not a superpower by any means when it comes to soccer. I'm sure they played a good game. I don't want to take anything away from them. But to have Spain go out this quickly, that's a shocker. So I'm sure all of you in Spain are probably a little a combination of frustration and anger over the performance of your team. I think a lot of you thought that the team would go a lot further than it did, and most of the experts thought the same thing. So hello to my friends in Spain. I hope you're going to recover from this very difficult loss today. Well, let's talk a little bit today about the President Biden, visiting Arizona. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the Georgia election. And let me begin with that. The Georgia election is today, happening today, Tuesday. We should have some results by Tuesday night, because it's Eastern time, so we'll probably know by 7 or 7:30 our time. Supposed to be a very close election from what the polls are saying. But I don't understand why the election is even close to begin with. Georgia is a Republican state. Every single Republican running for statewide office, from the governor to the secretary of state, all the members of Congress, it turned out to be a pretty good night for the Republicans, except for the U.S. Senate. And I don't understand that. I don't understand how people can vote for the governor, Brian Kemp, who's an excellent governor, and then turn around and vote for Senator Warnock. I don't understand that. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense to me. Why anybody would do that. I mean, Senator Warnock is one of the most liberal senators in the U.S. Senate. Why would anybody want to vote for him in Georgia? So that's what puzzles me. So I don't know who's going to win. The polls are saying that Warnock is going to win, and maybe he will. But it really puzzles the heck out of me that Georgia, a conservative state, would have two Democrat senators, and the two Democrat senators are really liberal Democrat senators. I mean, it's one thing if these Democrats in Georgia were like Senator Manchin, but they're not. You know, they're more like Senator Chuck Schumer. They vote with him all the time. So this is really a puzzle for me. I don't get it. I don't get it. Maybe somebody from Georgia can explain that. Now, of course, what many people are going to say is that Herschel Walker was not a good candidate. Maybe he wasn't the best of candidates. I can understand that. But again, to me, it comes down to a question of common sense. Would you rather have Warnock, who is a 100% vote for Chuck Schumer, or would you rather have Herschel Walker, who at least will oppose some of the crazy left-wing stuff that will come out of the Democrats? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. So hopefully Walker will win, and this conversation I'm having with you is moot. But if you voted for Warnock and you voted for the governor, Kemp, I don't get it. Please, you know, send me a message and tell me why you did that, because I don't get it one way at all. I just don't get it. Well, let's talk a little bit about President Biden, who was down in Arizona today. He went either New Mexico or Arizona, one of those two places. I don't quite remember now. But it doesn't matter. He was close to the border. I think it was Arizona. And he went to Arizona. There was a plant opening or something down there. You know, that's what presidents do. I don't have a problem with the president visiting a plant It's a chip producing plant, and we need a lot of those plants, because if China goes into Taiwan, we're going to have a real problem with chips, because Taiwan is a major player, if not the number one player. So the president goes to Arizona. He does his, you know, routine, the stuff that that presidents always do. They, you know, they walk around the plant. And then at some point, he gets a question about, are you going down to the border? And basically, he says, well, I got more important things to do. I'm busy. I don't have time for that. And you just sit there and you go, he doesn't have time to go to the border. The president of the United States is within, what, 200 miles, if that long, or if that far, from the border. He doesn't have time to go. He doesn't have time to go down to the border and at the very least show your support for the Border Patrol agents who are overworked and over harassed by the problem on the border. He doesn't have time to go down there and shake a few hands and say, hey, you know, I'm on behalf of the president, I'm down here to show my support for you. I guess he doesn't have time to do that. He doesn't have time to do it. So he goes back to Washington. What exactly is keeping this man so busy? Kind of hard to tell, because he takes very long weekends, not exactly putting in very long days. I mean, this is not a hard worker. This is not a workaholic of a president, like, let's say, Donald Trump was. Donald Trump was a workaholic. He'd be working all day long. Not Joe Biden. Joe Biden doesn't work very long hours. So, you know, you would think he would have gone down. I don't know why he didn't. Now, there's another issue, too, that is very important. And that is that right now the Senate is considering something of an immigration package, basically to legalize or create a path to citizenship for the so-called dreamers. These are the people who were brought here when they were young kids and who've grown up in the United States. I personally don't have a problem with a pathway to legalization, at the very least, for the dreamers. I have supported that in the past. I didn't support it the way President Obama did it, by executive order. I thought that was a terrible mistake. But I'm in favor of it. I think in many cases, these are, you know, young people in their 20s and 30s who have gone to school, they're working, they would be productive contributions to the society. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with creating a path to legalization, potentially citizenship for these people. Now, it has to be limited, it has to be restricted, it has to be only to them, not to everybody in their family, and that kind of thing. But, you know, I would be open to such a proposal. But how are you going to get this through Congress right now? Okay. The Congress, of course, is in a lame duck session from one party to the other, the House, that is. How are you going to get this through Congress when you don't even take an interest on the border? I mean, how can you even try to do this without going down to the border and showing your support for border security? How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it. Now, of course, he's not going to get a lot of questions from the media, because unfortunately, a lot of the White House press corps has been asleep, frankly, during most of his presidency. Peter Doocy of Fox News is the only one who will ask him a difficult question, but most of the others just sit there and kind of go along with him. There was a very funny story that came out this week that apparently the White House press secretary said that he had already been to the border. So they took a little, you know, they went, I guess, into Google to see when was the last time that President Biden was at the border. And the closest thing they could find was 2008, when he was running for the U.S. Senate. Of course, he had a different position on immigration back then. He was a tough immigration hawk back in those days, as were most Democrats at that time. But anyway, so the president has not been on the here at the border in 14 years. And he's too busy now to go to the border, given the chaos and all the problems on the border. I mean, it's pretty incredible when you think about it. It's just absolutely incredible. And I just hope that any Republican who thought about supporting this DACA package takes the position that says there's not going to be any DACA package, there's not going to be any immigration package until we do something on the border. We fix the border first, and then we talk about DACA and everything else that you want to talk about. Well, we fix the border first, and then we talk about anything else. You know, any Republican who doesn't do that, frankly, I don't know what I can say about them, because right now the emphasis is on fixing the border, because the border is totally out of control. So we'll see how it goes. But I think it was a huge mistake for President Biden to go to Arizona and not take a trip to the border, at the very least, to show support for the men and women in the Border Patrol. Well, it's going to be 81 years ago on December 7th, that will happen on Wednesday, that Pearl Harbor was attacked, the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor that essentially put the United States into the World War. And that's going to be 81 years ago this Wednesday, so tomorrow, if you're listening to me on Tuesday. But it's fascinating to know what President Roosevelt was doing on this day, 81 years ago today, meaning 24 hours before the attack. He had sent a telegram to the Emperor of Japan, you know, basically cautioning him against any further violence and basically saying, hey, please take it easy. Don't do anything rash. Of course, President Roosevelt obviously did not know that the fleet was heading for Pearl Harbor. And at the time, we thought the fleet was in Thailand or way off in another direction. So it's just a fascinating, I have a story about this in my blog if you want to get further details into it. But it's just fascinating. 81 years ago today, or 24 hours before the attack of Pearl Harbor, President Roosevelt had sent a telegram to the Emperor of Japan, you know, asking for peace and to, you know, to avoid any further bloodshed and so on. It's just fascinating. Fascinating to read that 80 years or so later. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Cantu in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.